This is Ryan Hill, Manager of Interpretive Programs and Curatorial Research Associate for the Hirshhorn Museum, and I'm speaking to Martin Kersells, Los Angeles-based artist.
So this is Uncertainty of Objects and Ideas, and we're here with Martin Kersells, a Los Angeles-based artist. Would you consider these artists your peers, or...?
I guess so. I mean, they're my peers, and then they're my betters in certain ways. I think they've kind of got, like, they've got, I think, different kind of career paths they've taken a different path than mine.
In what way?
Well, you know, I think that there's, I think maybe most of them came more from an interest in sculpture first. Maybe.
And then you kind of, and you came out of performance.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting thing, because you've came out of performance and into sculpture. And what made sense to you about that connection from performance to sculpture?
You know, I have to say I'm not sure why I made sense of it besides the fact that maybe like sculpture was a stand-in for the body.
Uh-huh.
So I mean, I relate to like the Franz Vest very
okay.
well because
so
they're
talk
like
about
body extensions or
uh-huh.
something.
And actually, there's a lot of connections between his work and performance.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also with his earlier adaptives, that series where people actually had they were like these sculptures you could hold and
yeah, they
adapt
were
to your
body. They would put a different parts of their bodies and but then I also saw this videotape of I don't know where it was shot, but it was of a Senegalese street vendor who took one of the adaptives and just sort of like danced with it.
Oh,
like
yeah?
It was a Franz Vest table. He's sort of just like dancing with it and kind of whirling it
uh-huh.
around and doing it. So there was this kind of other
yeah.
like address of the piece as opposed to being kind of placed on the body and this
uh-huh.
an extension of the body, you know, the sculpture of the body, but rather it became this kind of performative object, which
uh-huh.
was kind of cool.
Yeah, it kind of brought something out. And then,
So if
we look at, for instance, we're looking at Sisyphus
6. Yeah, no, I mean, it's sort of like just so amazing, this idea of like our anxieties or our neuroses, kind of that we wear like, you know, large boulders on our shoulders or whatever part that you extend. I mean,
yeah,
it, you know, it goes into the idea of, you know, tumor, like as the medical tumor as this, maybe this kind of byproduct, you know, at least folk-wise, you know, kind of like folk talk about, you know, tumors being this, you know, extension of our own anxieties and neuroses.
Oh,
and
yeah.
here they're kind of embodied
and,
in this way. You know, but it addresses like good sculpture does, you know,
uh-huh.
the idea that it's something in the round and it's
yeah.
it's got these different viewpoints and you can look at it from this way or
uh-huh.
it could be cut against as a silhouette
uh-huh.
or it can be, you know, framed by white or, you know, all these things. The part that I also like is the packing crates.
Yeah.
I mean, the pallets.
Pallets, the wood pallets.
You know,
yeah.
this kind of, you know, everyday, or the industrial
yeah.
Pedestal.
Uh-huh.
You know, which is like...
Well, what does that do for you?
Well, one, it's a kind of this kind of truth and material,
uh-huh.
you know, idea, like sort of like what, you know, you just sort of grab the thing that's like nearby and you kind of stack it up, so it's a sort of industrial for the industrial size anxiety, sort of like just being kind of forklifted around. And also just I like the open, you know, I like the open form of it.
Yeah.
You know, that you can see all the way to the floor. You know, so I like in these formal, you know, these formal ways. And then also, you know, I think it really resonates with the content of the work too. You were talking about the toilet paper roll. Finish that thought.
Oh, like yeah, the toilet paper roll. And I mean, just it makes me start to look at the materials differently, where before I'm thinking, oh, it's paper mache, and he's using this in a more formal way just to kind of build the form. The toilet paper roll makes me think this is also paper, and it's paper that one would use on their body. And so there's this kind of abject quality to it that I think is important to that neurotic.
Well, and important to Austria.
How is that?
Well, all, you know, the Vienna actionists and all that.
Oh, right.
Like poop and shit and, you know, like...
And blood.
And blood and
yeah.
guts and, you know, like it's
yeah.
becomes totally, like, part of, like, but in a way it's sort of like a funny, it's almost like seeing that little paper roll, it's almost like a little joke.
Yeah.
Like boop, just sort of sticking out, like, you know, it's just sort of placed there to remind you of this.
This is Bjorn Dahlem, and he's a Berlin artist. And I thought you might kind of get a kick out of it.
Yeah, no, totally. Like, it's like, it's
no, this one.
Do-si-do.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like probably in a way, like something that I would want to do. You know what I mean? Like the most kind of like the work that I like.
Uh-huh.
This idea, like definitely ideas of domesticity. Kind of exploding out. I don't know what this is called, but it's like a black hole.
Black hole.
I mean, I'm interested. But see, but what's funny, because I mean, I guess he was thinking of it compacting. I'm thinking of it as a nova.
Uh-huh.
Like, I, my mind went immediately to the expansion of it as opposed to the contraction.
Uh-huh.
Like, black hole is about, like, sucking everything in and contracting it to the most basic sense.
Yeah.
I'm, like, kind of, like, about the, you know, reflection of culture, of it coming out, like exploding out into this miasma of image and color and form and, you know, time and noise and movement. And so this is
completely the opposite.
Yeah,
direction.
but it's like I'm so attracted to it because it's I read it from the you know, from the inverse of what I think he was maybe thinking. I don't know. Maybe he was thinking of it working both ways.
Well, it's funny because the wood planks, when you start to look at them, I see them as action lines, and so I start to see that the action lines are letting me know that they're being pulled in.
But they could also be being splayed out.
But they could be splayed out. Like, it's just the wood's coming out first.
But if the woods are like tendrils, if you look at an explosion.
Oh, the tendrils come out first.
Like the little parts of the smallest matter comes out first.
Oh, right.
So if you think of this as like if you think of these like sort of as the endpoints of small matter, like making little little like lines coming out, and then all the bigger stuff
is going to be
taking out sooner because mass moves at different speeds when accelerated or something like that. And so, you know, but I see the other way too.
Mm-hmm.
I see this about kind of contraction, but for me, because when you look at, like, when you think about the points of a star, you know, it's radiating out. But that's just me. See, but I want, like, that's my.
And that's kind of like maybe in some ways there's an optimistic quality about explosions, where black holes, there seems to be kind of like a depressive quality to them. But that, you know, and I think that's because we're coming out of Franz West and thinking about psychologically, and I don't think these are necessarily psychological.
Yeah, there's a nice, nice view here. Like, I think this was my favorite view. I kind of walked around this one.
The coma sculpture?
Oh, no, okay. This here. This was a.
Oh, that is a great view. Because you get a little more distance.
You get a little more distance, and there's a little. He left some space, kind of foregrounded, so that you can kind of. It plays out a little bit more like a stage or something, and then that little like coat rack up there is really nice.
Yeah.
Isn't that beautiful?
Those really work nicely.
And the blue of the stroller, you know, it's like this is a very nice, the drum.
Even the decision to make, for instance, a smaller part of the lamp shade go in, the smaller part of the stroller go in, so that. There's a sense of things being sucked into something, like they're losing their form as they go towards it. There's nice little details about it within like that one idea.
Trying to get some sort of sense of understanding. Well, isn't that, like, I mean, I always think that artists have this freedom that like scientists don't have. Like the scientist has to have a hypothesis and then has to be proved or disproved. The artist can just sort of put forth this kind of hypothesis without any proof and just sort of like, you know, lay it out. This is my idea, or this is my proposition. Like art students like to use the word proposition a lot.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know, my proposition for what, you know, what I think a black hole, how it functions. Maybe not literally, but like maybe culturally or, you know, so that, you know, you kind of like kind of riff on stuff. And I don't think I could ever be a scientist.
Yeah, I mean, he's really interested in science, but he's also interested in science as being like a collective myth or a collective story.
Right.
Like and what's interesting is that all those things are made out of materials that are very available to us. as opposed to something.
It's just all around us.
Yeah.
It's all around us, which is what I appreciate too. I like kind of the everyday. And I don't mean to pick on anyone in particular here. But like sometimes, like for me, and it's just a matter of kind of, I think it's maybe about an aesthetic choices. It's sort of like the, like this, these sculptures are.
These are Andrea Cohen.
Yeah, I have everyday, but I think they've been aestheticized too much for my taste. I don't, you know, like they become like too precious. Like I think there's preciousness in. I like preciousness in work. I like moments, but like to me, and you know, they're very well made, and I think there's, you know, some really wonderful choices. But I see kind of too many choices, like, and they become like paintings or something.
Well, she's actually interested in painting, and she's talked about Chinese and Japanese scroll painting. So they are in some ways like paintings. It's interesting, and as you go along, you can see that they're. They start to work like landscapes vertically.
Yeah.
Even though they're sculptures, they...
They also remind me of cat tree houses.
Yeah.
I mean, there's definitely like... cat tree houses. I mean, which are interesting, like goofy forms because... Or bird perches or something.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, bent woods and stuff like that. And,
yeah.
You know? But like... And I think...
But the details kind of hold you back from enjoying it?
A little bit. I mean, in a way, I think I'd rather enjoy it. Maybe, you know, I think that for myself, I'm, because I don't cue into subtlety of color because of, I'm color deficient. I'm a deuteranope.
What's a deuteranope?
Green blind.
Oh, really? So you can't see the color green.
Well, no, I can because my other two cones make up for it in certain instances in good light. But when you have certain tonalities that are sort of similar, I sort of like, I get confused. So I'm not... Really, I'm more like dark oriented.
Interesting. You know?
And so, like, when there's a lot of color going on, or a lot like, like this is more to my. I think I like this one more than I like that one. I mean, I know it's stupid. I like this more.
But why not? Yeah.
But there's like a lot of color going on in this, where there's less here, and I kind of can settle with it more.
You can actually see it more sculpturally too, because the color. Is maybe distracting from the form. Yeah.
But I mean, these are like, you know, I have no idea how you'd set these up. There must be some
they're,
sort of.
They're set. I mean, I think
some sort of plan.
She creates pieces for them, and then they get assembled.
So Evan.
Evan has been really challenging for me to discuss because I think. Every time, there's the battery piece that we were talking about. Every time I come in the gallery, it defies my ability to talk about them because they feel like they're already talking about themselves. Like they already seem to be complete systems. Like I don't have to solve anything, but I just don't know what exactly the systems could be about. But I do know that they're systems for something. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying, but I mean, I think it's a system for his own kind of. Thought of the day or, you know, thought of the month or, you know, like what he's kind of, like the battery piece, like he talked about this, that he just didn't, you know, he like would find these batteries or see batteries on the ground and he felt it was like, you know, what can I do with these? Like, not I want to make sculpture, but like it's such a shame that there's like these things that are dead.
And you can't throw them away.
You can't throw them away, but they're on the ground, so people kind of don't know what to do with them, so they wind up just on the ground, and so I'll take them and, like, give them power or re-energize them, you know, through putting them into a sculpture, and that way that they become not trash, but precious object, you know, because we tend to hold art in this way that's very precious.
But it's weird because it's not like they're actually lighting up anything. It's like the pedestal is lighting up, but they're kind of dead on it. It's really weird.
They're dead and it's like they are kind of drained because like we look at, you know, especially like D cell batteries or, you know, it's sort of like, what do we do with these things? You know,
they're kind of. And they're everywhere.
And so there is this, you're right, this kind of deadness to them. But then, you know, he's made this sort of like satellite dish transmitter or, you know, receiver alien or something, you know, so there's...
See, and what I think about when I look at them is it makes me think of, like, the New Age crystal power kind of thing with, like, the geode. I feel things like that's a half geode and the other one's, like, some kind of crystal. It's funny. It's mysterious, but it has an alien look to it, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's definitely, you know, and then this little welded table that's, like, kind of, you know, has this echoes of like 60s mm-hmm. Ed Keenholz or something like mm-hmm. that a little mm-hmm. bit, you know, so there's this, you know, but then like sticking stuff into plaster, there's this like, you know, assemblage, but like really direct. It's not about making it like work as parts, but it's just sort of like, we'll put all these together and by numbers we'll make it work together. Mm-hmm. It's a very weird thing.
I like that. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I'm kind of, in my own work, I'm always bent towards elegant, like trying to create simple solutions and some kind of elegance and be reductive. But I do kind of like that a lot of these works have this, how do I explain it? Just, it's like maximal kind of thing. You put a lot into it. and it's actually more rather than less.
Yeah, no,
you
no.
Don't, I, you, want to, and, you want to have as many associations as you can.
That's kind of the sense of what I get from the show, and also like kind of a overwhelming sense of fragility uh-huh. to the whole thing, even though it's like kind of maximal, and even though it's like, you know, some of it's like, you know, bigger than the body, but uh-huh. you know, most of it's like kind of body size.
Yeah,
but it's all like really kind of fragile, like
yeah.
everything, you know, it's like a nightmare kind of you know, like in terms of like a, you know, exhibiting, like,
yeah,
you know, I met Charles through CalArts.
Uh-huh.
We had him for a year and a half or something, uh-huh. Visiting, and he was in the midst of like moving from New York,
uh-huh.
and I think in the midst of kind of coming to terms with a, you know, this career arc that he had reached, like a really kind of high point,
yeah,
you know, and I wouldn't say he's, you know, was like down, but it was like things were different. He couldn't support that kind of uh-huh. career anymore.
Uh-huh.
And so there's this choice. All of a sudden he moves to LA.
Yeah.
Things change. He moves by and gets a studio by yeah. the river. And all of a sudden his work changed a lot. Well, it did change a lot.
Uh-huh.
But it also, there's a similarity. It just materially changed a lot,
yeah.
I think.
Well, I think the idea of using the LA River as like your studio.
A source, yeah.
And your source. I mean, I find that really interesting. And I feel like there's performance that's kind of built into his work in a funny way, because it's almost like the sculptures are meant to perform through that process he's gone through, that they kind of perform that experience in a
yeah.
funny way.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's this one photograph I saw, and it's like, it's an art photograph. It's small, but it's of him dragging something out of the river,
uh-huh,
you know,
uh-huh.
like, and, you know, part of me is like, you know, thinking like there's a, you know, I know Richard Jackson, who's an LA artist,
yeah, yeah.
Used to drive around when he was like 19 or 20, mm-hmm. drive around LA with Keenholz.
Uh-huh.
Like he was like, I don't know if he was assistant, but somehow he knew Ed Keenholz.
Yeah.
And it was in the Ferris days, you uh-huh. know, Ferris day. And he would drive around in a truck, Keenholz's truck, and they would just stop, like, see some piece of junk and load it on board.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, so that there's,
it's something that's really built into Los Angeles.
Yeah, and in a way, like, yeah. one, but see, but it's different, too. Like, I don't think, like one, the truck driving is like you're flowing with the river, and here, like Charles, I think is sort of staying near his studio when the things are coming to him.
Oh yeah?
I don't know. I think I don't know.
I don't know
how his exact process
yeah.
is, you know. But like, which never people don't think of Los Angeles as being a river city, and it in a way it isn't,
yeah.
except that that whole big, you know, Army Corps Engineers work. You know, it's dry most of the year, and then you have rain and it brings a bunch of junk
right.
down, and then it dries up again, and you can go and
just go and pick
farm it.
Yeah, I mean, when I
so
was
it's sort of like mining in a way.
Yeah, well, when I was a kid, it was the same thing at the beach. You know, things would always
oh, yeah.
wash up every day, and it's kind of nice because there's this element of chance, I think, with his work, and there's something really romantic.
But there's all it is romantic, but also there's that history. Like if you grew, because I grew up near the beach too, of like the driftwood sculptor.
Yeah, well, he's not a driftwood.
No, I know he's not, but I mean, I think I, like, I I never would think of doing that.
Yeah.
I would never think of going to, like, the river or the beach and getting stuff.
Right.
Like, it's not...
Yeah, because
I was, like...
Because we both grew up with the driftwood,
like,
stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. I'm not saying Charles is doing that, but it's like that would be my, like, okay, that's something I'm not attracted to doing. That's not my thing.
Yeah. But the idea of collage and or assemblage, bringing all those elements together, is really interesting. And I think he's... There's a... When I look at his work, I think of almost like a... You're viewing the present from a position of the future. I know that sounds very strange.
Say that again?
Yeah, it's like, I almost feel like when I'm looking at sculptures, I'm viewing the present from the position of the future. Like, that, I know that sounds really weird, but there's something sci-fi about them. There's something kind of... they're like alien,
uh-huh.
But they're also, there's parts of them that aren't, so they can still connect to me.
I see what you're saying.
And it's a little bit like the LA River. When you go down there, you're in this kind of alien terrain.
Yeah.
It can feel like that. I mean, well, it has a lot of other stuff, and it also, it's just unusual. I mean, it's a cement river.
Yeah, well, that was the whole deal of, like, you know, it's an interesting thing.
You know Rachel Harrison? She's a New York-based artist.
Okay.
So this piece actually was acquired by the museum. It's called Pretty Discreet.
Air freshener.
Mm-hmm.
Wizard, and then there's a climber.
Yeah, that's like a World Federation wrestler doll called Big John Stud. Oh, World Wrestling Federation.
Yeah, WWF.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of interesting because there's these little nail studs that are throughout it. But I also think about Matthew Barney and his climbing pieces. And then it seems like the little doll is going into kind of Vaseline world or cape world.
Yeah, but then it's like, what's with the air freshener?
That's the Holy Grail.
What?
It's a wizard.
Oh.
So it's a holy, this is a very
okay,
mythological.
So, and then it's all on wheels.
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
I don't know. It's sort of
like a flag, the American flag
field,
like here, and then it's like larger, but all like kind of...
The curator, Ann Elgood, was talking about how it's like a flag, too. I thought that was interesting.
You know, it's very nice because I like the flat address. Like,
mm-hmm.
You kind of have... You can go to this view,
mm-hmm.
But it's sort of not...
Well, it's kind of good this way.
It is good, but like it really, then you kind of come around and it really opens up and you kind of, it's sort of cinematic, like you, what was it, Mission Impossible 2
uh-huh.
or something, that you see the plateaus and then you the helicopter comes around and you see Tom Cruise climbing the rock. There is that sense of like, you know, this is a cinematic scale, this is a model for something, Maybe therein lies, like, you know, the wizard and someone trying to undo the temple or something.
it's definitely a, like an action piece because it's on wheels. So it, I mean, wheels, so it can kind of
wheels
on wheels. You can really move around and stuff. And that's one.
No, but yeah,
Tom Cruise. Maybe that's where I got it from.
See, this is what like. But you know, it, when I walk through this, I am interested in all these ideas of conservation on these things because I know that, you know, I face similar things,
right?
And I know that there's this piece that the LA County Museum has, and it's in the category of special needs.
Uh-huh.
Like it's sort of
the
conservators have a special needs category,
uh-huh.
meaning.
Which is one of your works is a special needs?
Yeah.
Which one?
It's called a willow buoy.
Uh-huh.
And it's like made of like a stripped willow, and it has a motor and it moves and
uh-huh.
it has a, you know, sound aspect to it.
Uh-huh.
So like they you know, they called me because it wasn't working right, and so it got into this whole thing about interview, you know, spending time with the conservator.
Uh-huh.
He's taking notes. Oh, there's a file on my piece, like how to, you know, what's allowed, what's not allowed.
And you've never thought about that?
Well, I when I got into this stuff, I wasn't really thinking about the permanency of the work.
Right.
You know, the permanency that this is now in some sort of system that is supposed to keep everything in check.
Yeah.
And I just sort of like think of this, you know, I kind of started like going back to the idea of performance in the moment.
Right.
Right.
Well, I think a lot of these works that are made out of these more fragile materials or more vulnerable materials, that's, they're trying to be performative or temporal that way, that you get the sense that they're here for a moment, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know,
and
this,
I think maybe that's why there's this
idea here that, you know, that if you look at this structurally,
we're looking at pretty discrete, yeah?
Yeah, if you look at this structurally, there's like no backbone to it,
uh-huh.
Right? There's no overarching backbone,
right?
It's all like about the relationships of pieces of wood to another piece in order to form, you know, triangles for strength and bridges, right?
Uh-huh.
So the whole thing basically, you know, it's supported in two spots on the carts, but then there's this bridge between the two carts, and then there's this cantilevered part. And conceivably, you know, since there is sort of no backbone,
uh-huh.
you know, these can start to, you know, the plywood can start to delaminate a little bit,
right.
and it starts to sag in these places.
Right.
And not saying that that's, you know, bad workmanship, but
that's
saying
part of the, that's part of the piece, is that it does sag in some parts, and it has this kind of life. It does remind me of kind of like home fixing. You know, when you fix things, or my apartment, which is, things have been fixed, and then it's just kind of like with kind of a sense of just fixing it for the moment. Yeah.
But your apartment is not in the Hirshhorn Museum,
right?
And so you think like a conservator. I'm not saying like you as a, you know, as an artist and someone who thinks about art.
Right.
Like you say, well, that's part of it.
Yeah.
Conservator goes, I see 2-inch gap. 2-inch gap, it's 1.5 inches. What do we want to do with that?
Right, and you're like, what? You don't. But if you were to think about this stuff, you'd never make the work.
Well, that's true, because, you make bronzes.
Right, it's like that, you remember that whole Yoko Ono show where she took all the Fluxus pieces and bronzed them, made bronze versions of them? That made me so sad. It's like, why even do that? But, I mean, I think the whole idea was that, you know, you have to think about those, you know, she's thinking about legacy, or she's thinking about
it's, you know, and again, nothing against Paul. Like, Paul McCarthy's made some bronzes. And I think, like, Paul McCarthy making bronzes?
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem like, you know, I mean, there are Paul McCarthy bronzes. They're not, like, one's normal bronzes, but they're still.
Right.
It's about this address of timelessness.
Right.
You know? Like, as opposed to the address of time, the address of like the reflection of culture at that moment or within the recent history.